Our study tonight is out of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, living a holy life. It's interesting, before the Apostle Peter began to minister for the Lord in the church, his outlook was impacted by Christ's prophecy in John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19, that he would be crucified for Christ. Eternity was thus often on Peter's mind. We view Peter's epistles that highlight preparing for eternity, and in 1 Peter 1:13 through 16, Peter taught us believers to live a holy life, for without holiness no man will see the Lord, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. So we've studied this passage in 1 Peter for our insight. Now, I want to read the verses, and then we'll look at them. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of life, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And of course that's a citation of God. That's a quote from the Lord himself in Leviticus 11, verse 44. Often the term holy or holiness is believed to convey the idea of sacredness or what belongs to the divine. But that's not quite accurate. Since 1 Peter 1:13 to 16 directs us to a holy life, we view the passage for our insight, our application, our edification as follows. Peter was writing to Hebrew Christians who had fled from Israel under persecution from their countrymen. We know that from 1 Peter 1:1, he's writing to the diaspora. It's a technical word for Jews who have been scattered, basically for persecution. And they lived in a pagan world that was hostile to Christians, since the Christians had withdrawn from the close-knit framework of pagan society. So Peter called his readers to several actions necessary for godly living in a pagan world. And those are in verses 13 and 14. Peter's readers were to prepare their minds for action. The King James Version, which has a figurative phrase, gird up the loins, it literally refers to tying up of one's outer garments that flowed like a robe, tying them up around one's waist so he could work or that he could run. So Peter wrote that Christians in spiritual conflict need a tough-minded holiness that is ready for action. When we live in a world that is godless, we need to be prepared to make decisions and to act in a hurry. Peter's readers were also to be self-controlled, or sober as it says in the ESV, in the King James Version. And this word renders the Greek participle nephontes from the verb nepho, to be sober. It is used figuratively in the New Testament to express being free from every form of mental and spiritual drunkenness or excess. Rather than being controlled by outside circumstances, believers should be directed from within by the Lord. That's very interesting. God doesn't want us to be manipulated by the world that is around us and the life that is around us. He wants us to be controlled from the inside out through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's very different. The world, if you listen to people, many times they just kind of follow one another and they pick up on the ideology that's around them. But a Christian isn't supposed to do that. He's supposed to be sober. He's supposed to be controlled from within by God. Peter's readers were to set their hope fully on the grace to be brought to them when Christ is revealed in his coming. The believer's hope is to be set perfectly, teleos, that means completely or unchangeably, and without reserve, on the deliverance Christ will provide him at the rapture. So in other words, the idea of the rapture and being called up to be with the Lord should be something that is always in our focus. That's not often the case. We get caught up in things of this life and whatnot. But God wants us to have that as a focus. Peter's readers, as obedient children of God the Father, were not to conform, suskematizomdominoi, that's a big one, The same verb that is used in Romans 12:1 of not being conformed to the world. And they were not to conform to the evil desires of their past sinful lives that were performed in their past ignorance of God. This verb, incidentally, has the idea of being formed by pressure from outside. And God doesn't want us to be formed by pressure from outside. He wants us to be, the Greek verb actually in Romans chapter 12:1 is be metamorphosized from the inside. That's like a butterfly through the chrysalis. So God wants us to be people who are impacted from the inside out, not from the outside of the world going on the inside. Now these actions were all summed up in Peter's 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 call. That is, readers, be holy. Like God, who had called them to faith in the gospel of Christ, was holy. So we need to view the meaning of holy in this context to grasp what Peter was seeking to communicate. The Greek word rendered holy is hagios, and it equates in meaning the Hebrew Old Testament word kadosh. So hagios is Greek, kadosh is Hebrew. The word kadosh means to separate or to part, or apart, or sacred. So the idea of holiness, or holy, then bears the meaning of being separate from what is morally or ceremonially impure, but it also carries the idea of being separated unto God, who is separate from the sinful and pure world in which believers in Christ live. So we're supposed to be separate from the world, separate from sin, but separated unto God. So if we're going to be in fellowship with the Lord, we have to be separate from that which is sinful, because God has nothing to do with that which is sinful. Very interesting. So the idea of holy or holiness bears the meaning of being separate from what is morally or ceremonially impure, but it also carries the idea of being separated unto God, and we're supposed to be separate to Him. So Peter was directing his readers to be separated from sin and separated unto God in very specific ways. I want to sum it up here. Peter was directing his readers to be mentally tough-minded and ready to part with sin and be committed to the Lord instead of becoming mentally lethargic so that they compromised with the ungodly world. That means we need to keep on our toes in regards to what's going on. He was directing his readers to set their hope fully on the rapture and in God's deliverance to be brought to them, as opposed to getting preoccupied with the things and the viewpoints of this ungodly world. And Peter was directing his readers to avoid being conformed to the evil desires of their past sinful lives, and instead to stay devoted to the Lord and to His righteous calling in their lives. So a Christian is supposed to operate completely apart from the world in his mind. Mind is supposed to be geared towards what is biblical, focusing on heaven, that's where we're headed, we're going to be with the Lord, and fellowshipping with the Lord. Now, this is interesting because it's a call for us to live in tension with the world. The world around us doesn't know God. It's alienated from God. But God wants us to be in the world, but fellowshipping with the Lord. So that's going to create a tension with unsaved people in the world that is around us. But that's a healthy tension. Now, God wants us to be loving and kind towards the world that is around us. But nevertheless, we will stick out if we are fellowshipping with the Lord. And that's by design. God wants that litmus test to be out there so that the world sees that there's something different about us. So the lesson is the separated or the holy lives. A separated God wants us to live are lives that are separate from sin so that we align with God's righteousness and we spiritually fellowship with Him. This involves mental alertness to discern right from wrong, a fixed hope for Christ's return, and separation from former lusts. The holy lives we must live will affect our earthly relationships so that we separate from evil people and fellowship with those who are godly. So may we live separated lives like God, who is separate from sin, calls us to be separated with Him. Fascinating. That's what God wants us to do. Years ago, if I had prepared a message like this, I would feel very nervous. But because there was such an emphasis on, you know, we need to get along with everybody and so forth. Well, God wants us, as much as lies within us, to get along with everybody. But there's a limit as to how that works out if we're going to be really holy. If we're going to be separate in our way of thinking, eventually we'll be separate in our actions. So we will be unusual that way, and we will stick out. But that is a very healthy thing, and that's something that the world needs to see. And God calls us to that. Now, it's amazing. Sometimes that'll even involve a separation from people who profess to know Christ as their Savior, because sometimes Christians are not living holy lives. They're not separate from sin or separate from error. And so that creates a tension itself. But that's a tension that we need to allow to exist, because that's what people need, believers need, so that they'll see the need to repent and to change. Now, we can be kind towards people, but nevertheless, we can't really spiritually fellowship with that if they're in darkness and we're in light. So we need to let that tension ride, and then God will bless us. One of the things about the Lord Jesus Christ I've noticed so much, he's perfect. He was sinless. But there was a rub between him and the chief priests and the elders and the Pharisees. These were supposed to be the theologians of the day. But there was a tremendous rub because these theologians were in darkness. Jesus was in the light. And there wasn't a compatibility. Eventually, Jesus himself would withdraw from that. But that was necessary. And of course, someday Jesus is going to judge these people. They're going to stand before him. They're going to be surprised. But that's something that's important. But God wants us to be holy. He wants us to be separate because he's separate. And that's a calling. And God wants us to obey him.